You are listening to a weekend gathering of Shelter Church located in Kettering, Ohio. If you'd like to learn more about who we are, visit us at shelterchurch.tv.
So I'm going to show you just a real short video clip. I just want you to, in just a second, I just want you to ask this question as you're watching it. Do you ever feel like this in life? So watch this. You ever feel like that in life? Not the girl that can spin. I can't do that. But I can do the other guy, right? And there's always a guy there with the camera. That's what's great about cell phones now, is everybody has a camera. They can catch it, and instead of helping you, they can actually laugh at you and get it on recorded and be on social media and everything else. And I just wonder, how many times do we feel like that? I can tell you I feel like that at times, where I feel like no matter what I'm doing, I can't get traction. You know, like no matter how fast I go, no matter how hard I try, my feet are spinning. It's like those old cartoons. Remember the cartoons I grew up on? The little character's feet would be spinning and they would be going no place. That's how I feel sometimes. That I'm trying, man. I am trying. I'm trying to get someplace, but I just can't get any traction. It's like I'm going nowhere fast. And sometimes you feel like that maybe in a relationship. You're putting in all this energy and there's nothing. Nobody else is joining you in that. Nobody else is helping you with that. Nobody else has come alongside and it's not producing any positive results. Or maybe you feel like that in your finances. Maybe you feel like that with a habit or hurt or a hang up. We talk about that. And it's like you just can't, and you're trying. You know, it's not that you don't want to. It's not that you're not open to change. It's just like you can't, it's like you're on ice and you cannot get traction. And when that happens, I'm convinced that when we're slipping and sliding in life, there are two voices that are ready to speak up in our lives. The one voice says, just give up. You ever hear that voice? A voice that as soon as you start to slip, as soon as you start to fall, as soon as you start to feel like you're not getting anywhere, there's that voice that just says, hey, just give up. Because you know what? You don't need to go through this. You don't want to deal with this. You're not going to get anywhere anyhow. So just give up. A couple of summers ago, our son Seth said he was interested in golf, of all things. I don't know where he got that interest because I don't play golf. I stink at golf. And he wanted to play golf. So I said, well, let's sign up for lessons. So Seth and I signed up for lessons. I was at the same level as Seth, so he could teach both of us in the same way. And so the guy, really encouraging, this guy was great. The first time we went out, this guy was like, you know, this is so awesome that you're doing this with your son. And he started painting this picture of how we're going to have these memories and we're going to share. And this would be something that we could do all through life together. It was beautiful. I mean, the picture he was painting was it made me want to play golf, you know. I'm shelling out the money, man. Let's do this. You know, I'm going to become, he had great aspirations for me. And so we get out there and he shows us a few pointers and he says, now you try it. And he shows us a few more pointers and he says, now you try it. And he shows us a few more pointers and now you try it. And at the end, he said, you know what? Don't come back until you've practiced four times. Just go to the driving range, get a bucket of balls, both of you, practice four times. So we did it. I mean, we're good little students. We practiced four times, and I called him up. I said, hey, we've done our practice for four times. Can we come back over? Yeah, let's do this. We get there. He says, let me see what you got, how you've been doing. We show him, and he stops me, and he pulls me over and says, you know, let's work on this. We start working on this. And then he says, try again. I try it again, and I kid you not. Now, this is the second session, okay? Second session. What are you laughing at? And a guy comes over to me and he pulls me to the side so that Seth won't hear. And he says, now listen, man, I don't know that this is for you. Now, I'll be honest, I was a little offended because I'm paying the guy money, you know, not to say I don't know if this is for you. And this is a second session. I know I'm bad, but give me a third at least. Say three times, you know, charm kind of thing. And I say, well, that's, and I actually got a little bit of a smart aleck, I admit. And I said, well, friend, that's why I'm paying you, so you can teach me to be better. I admit it. I'm not any good. And then he said these words. I kid you not. He looked me in the eye and he said, I can teach you technique, but I can't teach ability. Well. The things I was thinking of doing with that golf club in that moment. Well, Seth overheard all of this. He thought he was saying, so Seth overheard it all. And then on the way back, I said, well, Seth, how do you feel about that? He said, to be honest, Dad, I just thought we'd get to drive a golf cart. I don't even like golf. I could have saved a lot of money to find a friend to drive me around in a golf cart than do that, you know? But that's the voice, right? We all have that voice. We all have that professional golf instructor in the back of our mind. The voice, I'm convinced, not that guy, but of the enemy, who wants to say, as soon as we start to lose traction, as soon as we start to slip inside, that voice comes along and says, hey, just give up. Come on, you don't want to put yourself through this. The problem is, every time I listen to that voice and I give up, instead of it making easier for me in the important things, it always creates this downward spiral that doesn't lead to anything good. And so when I fight against that voice, give up, let's say some days I win against that voice, there's this other voice. I'm slipping and sliding over here. This other voice says, hey, try harder. And this isn't the voice of a coach who's trying to get you to bring out the best in you. This is the voice of an angry drill sergeant who's never satisfied. Anybody heard that voice? It's the voice who, you get a B in school, and the voice, and they say, no, it should have been an A. You get an A, it should have been an A+, you know? You got a single in the game, that should have been a double. You got a promotion, you should have gotten that 5 years ago. You're finally going to get married. Well, I hope it works out better than the last one. You know, I mean, that's the voice. You know, they on the front end, it almost sounds encouraging, like they're trying to bring out the best. But then you realize, wow, they just slapped me upside the face, you know, verbally in a way. And that's a voice. And sometimes that's not a voice of people. It's a voice that we hear in our heads that I'm, again, convinced comes from the voice of the enemy who says, when you're slipping aside, and hey, why don't you try harder? The problem is that voice is never satisfied. And even if you get where that voice says to go, there's always something more. It's never enough. And that is exactly where the people in the church of Galatia were. They're slipping aside. They used to stand firm. They used to know who they were in Christ. They used to be a church that was headed someplace good for the kingdom of God. And all of a sudden they started, it was like they hit ice and they start slipping and sliding and they can't get any traction. And as you go through the book of Galatians, you read it and you realize they have two voices screaming at them. They're slipping and sliding because they're listening. They're trying to listen to two voices. One voice is over here saying, hey, try harder. You want to be a good Christian? Then you got to be a good Jew. You got to be circumcised. You got to obey the Sabbath. You got to do all these rites and rituals of Judaism. You guys weren't Jews. Now you're trying to be Christians. Well, let me tell you, us Jewish Christians are saying you can't be a good Christian without being an excellent Jew. So put all this on. Try harder. And then on the other side, they got voices screaming in their ears saying, listen, you guys can't do that. The Jews, who are good Jews, can't even live up to all that. And so, you know what? Just give up. Don't even try. Hey, it's all about grace anyhow. Just give in to self-indulgence, your own sinful desires, and just give up. And so there's the church of Galatia, slipping inside in between the two. Try harder, give up. And that's when the Apostle Paul says, you guys need a letter. And so he writes a letter to them. And in Galatians 5 and the rest of the chapters, we're going to see over these next few weeks together how the Apostle Paul teaches them how to find ground, how to find traction in life and stand again. Paul says there's a place that no matter how slippery it gets, no matter what the voices are that are screaming in your ear, there is a place where you can find firm ground to stand on. And he starts talking about it in Galatians chapter 5. Beginning of verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. Is not those voices, try harder, give up, isn't that that's a yoke of slavery that the enemy wants to put on us. Paul says, verse 2, mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will have no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by the law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace, for through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You are running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion, whoever that may be, will have to pay the penalty. Brothers and sisters, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. Now, Paul is not like Pastor Joel Osteen. I'm sorry. Pastor Paul and Joel, they have a different approach. Pastor Paul does not mince words. Pastor Paul does not sugarcoat anything. Pastor Paul says it like it is. He doesn't pull any punches with Galatians because he loves these people. And he says, listen, you're listening to this voice, you're listening to this voice, and it's not getting you anywhere. You used to be on a race. You were running someplace, and you have let someone cut in on you, and now you're slipping and sliding all over the place. Why are you doing this? And so the first thing he says to them is what he says to me, he says to you all, is this. When we start slipping and sliding and we're listening to the voice of give up and we're listening to the voice of try harder, there is an element of choice involved in this. We are not just helpless victims. We make a choice in all this. Who are we going to listen to? But Paul doesn't come to add more to their burden. He comes to give them good news. And so he says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Traction is found, in other words, when you stand firm in freedom through the Spirit. The voices of give up and try harder don't want you to know there's another voice calling your name. It is the voice of freedom. But it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. You and I can stand firm, Paul is saying. Paul is saying, you know what? Every place else, the whole world may be a slippery slope, but you can find a place to stand on. You don't have to live this life and wait to heaven someday to have solid ground. You can begin to experience solid ground on your faith. You don't have to slip and slide all over until one day you get to heaven. Traction is found when you stand firm in the freedom through the Spirit. And he says it's this kind of freedom that sees circumcision for what it is. You may read this and say, what is all this talk about circumcision? Oh my goodness, what is this? Well, Paul's trying to get them to see. There was a day for the Jewish people that when they didn't have Christ yet, his Spirit had not been put in them. And so they needed external markings and measures to help them understand and to see what God was doing and wanting to do in their hearts. And the primary one was circumcision. I mean, when you converted, and talk about being serious about membership. When you converted, you would be circumcised. That's serious commitment, right? But Paul says, if you're going to put your hope in external things like this, then I wish you'd go ahead and castrate yourself to prove your commitment all the more. Because if external things are what shows your heart to be right, then you ought to go all the way. But Paul says, we're not about the external things anymore. Christ has come. He has given us his Spirit so that the external, that's not where freedom is found. It's found here through him, not through all of that. Are you with me? And so Paul says, stand firm. You're slipping on all over the place. Listen to voices of give up and try harder because you're making it about the externals. And still today, the voices of give up and try harder find their power in the deceit that says your value, your worth, your meaning, your success is found in something external. If you just get this job then, if you just get this recognition then, if you just marry this person then, if your kids just accomplish this, then, when these external things happen, then we can be free. Then we can be happy. Then we can have peace. Then we can rejoice. And Paul is saying to them and to us, as long as the external is the determining factor of your freedom, you're missing out on freedom. Because traction is found when you stand firm in freedom through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. This isn't something we muster up on ourselves. Listen to verse 5. For through the Spirit, we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. Now, let me show you a picture here. This is my favorite picture of Anna and I, my daughter. This is when she was about 5 years old. We were at a cousin's wedding. And this won't surprise you. I mean, I don't dance. I shouldn't golf. I shouldn't dance. There's just some things I shouldn't do. I am not coordinated. I have no sense of rhythm. You will never catch me on the floor dancing by myself. I imagine sometimes Pastor Ryan probably would get out on the floor and just dance by himself. He doesn't care who's looking. He's going to enjoy himself. In fact, Ryan, watch. No, stand right up now and just. But can't you imagine? You can imagine him, can't you? You can imagine this guy going out on the floor. He just have a good time. Whether if anybody else, you put on the music, doesn't matter. If anybody else is there, he's going to dance and have a good time. I'm not that person. I'm the person who would be completely content sitting on the at a table watching him dance and smiling, taking a few pictures, posting some comments on Facebook and making fun of it. I would be happy doing that. That's me, right? But when that little girl asked Daddy to dance, then I have to dance. And I go out there, and at first you feel all self-conscious, and you think, why am I doing this? I don't even like to do this. Why couldn't her grandpa dance? Why couldn't her mommy dance? You know, I don't say anything, though, but because I'm uncomfortable with it. But then pretty soon, that little girl with her big eyes looks up into mine, and next thing you know, I don't care what anybody else is thinking. If I'm going to make a fool, then I'm going to make a fool of myself for the sake of my daughter. And next thing you know, you start to both move to the music, and you start to dance, right? My concern for us in the American church, myself included, is that we've become a group of Christians who pretty much dance by ourselves. And here's how it goes. So we come on Sunday morning, and we're like, oh, thank God I'm here. I've been dancing all week by myself. I am exhausted. I've been dancing like crazy all week long. I have been stressed. It's been hard. It's been awkward. I have been dancing. That is why I'm here. Pastor Ryan, give me some punch. Feed me. I mean, I am starving spiritually to death. Oh, my goodness. Give it to me. Oh, my goodness. And then some of us leave and we're disappointed. It's like, really? That's it? I mean, I've been dancing all week and that's what you got? That's all you got for me? I'm still hungry. I don't know if I can go to this church because I'm not getting fed. And so we got to go someplace else. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've been dancing all week and oh, give it to me. Give it to me. And we treat like the Holy Spirit, like the guy at the punch table. It's like, give me some. I am dying. I got to get back out there and go back in. And then we go out here and dance and we're dancing like crazy. Woo! Oh, I'm so exhausted. But some of us are really mature though. And we don't just wait for Sundays. We have our personal devotional time. You know, and so we run off to the little spirit and we say, oh, Jesus, give me some, because I got to get out there and dance today. I'm going to dance all day long. I can't dance without you. Give it to me. So we soak it up and then we go and we dance and we're dancing and we're exhausted. But we come back on Tuesday. Give me some more of that. I need some more because I got to go dance. And you know what? I think the Holy Spirit is saying, I don't know if you guys haven't figured it out or not. I'm not the guy on the side of the dance floor handing out punch. I'm on the dance floor. I don't know who that guy is you're getting punched from, but I'm on the dance floor and I'm out here dancing. You didn't notice me because you're all busy dancing by yourself, trying to get through life and deal with everything and deal with temptation and do all this and not listen to the voices and give up and try harder. You're just dancing like crazy. And every once in a while, thank God you do run over to me on Sunday morning or during your week. But what I want for you is not a personal devotional time. What I want for you is not for you to have a little small group time every once in a while. What I want for you is not to show up just on church on Sunday. What I want for you is to get on the dance floor and say, Holy Spirit, where are you? Because I want to dance with you. You see the difference? Where you go up to the Holy Spirit and you let him take you by the hand. Now, I got to tell you something about the Holy Spirit. He always takes lead. Trust me, I've tried this. Come on, Holy Spirit, let's go over here. He's like, I don't do the square dance, Chad. You come with me, you know? No, he takes lead. And when you let him have the lead, something starts happening. At first, it's awkward, I got to tell you. First, it's uncomfortable. At first, it almost seems like you have to make yourself do it. But pretty soon, you start learning to dance with the Spirit. And it's no longer about getting fed on Sunday. Because you're getting fed all week long. Amen? And it's no longer about a little devotional time. It's about him having all the time. Amen? And it's no longer about a religion. It's about a dance relationship. And pretty soon, you're moving in the rhythm of the Spirit in a way that you never thought you could. And every once in a while, he spins you, you know? He does a dip. Next thing you know, you're doing a different kind of dance. You're like, what am I doing, you know? But what you know is, it's no longer me, it's us. Amen? That's what he wants for us. And this is where, and all of a sudden, the ground starts to feel firm. And it's no longer this slipping and sliding anymore. There's something to stand on because you're dancing. You're not, this isn't your strength anymore. This isn't your hope anymore. This isn't just you and your discipline anymore. This is the Spirit doing for you what you can't do for yourself. Praise the Lord. And all of a sudden, the voice of give up loses its power, and the voice of try harder isn't beating you up anymore because you're hearing the music of His freedom. It changes everything. I can tell you, I know when I'm here and I know where I'm over here. Give me some punch, this Holy Spirit. This is a whole lot better. Amen? There's joy here. There is peace here. And you know what the first step of the dance with the Holy Spirit always is? Verse 6. And we're going to talk about these this next few weeks of how to find traction in the Spirit. The rest of the Galatians talks about this. But here's the first step, always the first step of every dance with the Spirit. Verse 6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. So I don't know where to start with the Spirit. I don't know. This is where you start. Tomorrow? No, let's do it today. Today you leave here. You go to a restaurant, you go home to eat, and you say, okay, where's the Holy Spirit dancing? And I'm going to go over and join hands, and I'm going to let Him use me. And together, we're going to show someone God's love. What would happen in the restaurant today if you did that? Well, your server would certainly be a happier person, right? What would happen if tomorrow at work you say, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're already here dancing. I'm looking for you today. I am going to look for you and find where you're dancing. And God, by your help and your grace, I'm going to join hands and I'm going to love someone for you here today. What would happen if our kids were learned to do that at school? If us parents taught our kids and our grandkids, go to school looking for the Holy Spirit because He's there. Find out where He is and start dancing with Him. And you're going to show someone your love. You know what happened? What would happen is we'd find freedom where we didn't think there should be freedom. 7 years ago, I got a call that my friend Jeff from college and seminary had been hit in a head-on collision in a car accident. And it was a Sunday morning, I'll never forget it, and his wife called and said, Chad, I think today is probably going to be Jeff's last day. Would you come up? And so I videoed the sermon for the day and drove up to Michigan. There's two memories from that day that I'll never forget. The first one is an awful memory of watching Marnie lay her head on Jeff's chest and cry as she listened to the last beats of his heart. And his 4-year-old and 2-year-old sob next to their daddy. That was an awful memory. The other memory from that day is a memory where you see the Holy Spirit working and giving freedom where you don't think there should be any. And that was that a few hours before that, while Marnie was having a final conversation with the doctors to take him off life support, his sister shared this story with me about her sister, Marnie. The day before, she was going to get coffee or something in the hospital, and she bumped into a woman, and they started up conversation and found out that her son, the woman's son, was the one who hit Marnie's husband. That was an awkward moment, they both said for a moment. But then they started talking more. And then all of a sudden, Marnie remembered something. She reached in her purse and she said, oh, my daughter made this for your son. We didn't know who hit Jeff at the time and or anything, but she knew that her daddy was in the hospital and another person was in the hospital, so she made a card for her daddy and she made a card for your son. And I just took it because I figured there was no way I'd ever know who to give it to, but here. And then all of a sudden, Marnie said she stopped. And she said, you know what? Can I give this to him? And the mom paused for a minute because, you know, there's all kinds of lawyers and liabilities and all this craziness. And the mom said, yeah, okay. She told her the room number, and Marnie said, I'll go down when I get a break here in another couple hours. And Marnie said she wrestled with that because all of a sudden, I mean, what had happened was this guy wasn't paying attention, and so he went left to center and hit Jeff head on with his truck. And if he had just been paying attention, you know, if he'd just been paying attention. But Marnie felt like she needed to go down. So she went down to the room. This guy was 17 years old. She went into the room and she introduced herself and she said, my daughter drew a picture for you. And he looked up for a moment, and he took the picture, and then he looked down. And then Marnie said, this is when the Holy Spirit started dancing. That's what the Holy Spirit would do, you know. The Holy Spirit would dance in places like hospital rooms, funeral homes. Places where nobody should be dancing, the Holy Spirit dances. And the Holy Spirit started dancing, and Marnie took his hands and started dancing with him. And she said to her sister, she said, I didn't plan to say this. I didn't even know I wanted to say this. Didn't even know I needed to say this, but this just came out. And I just said, you know, my husband's going to die soon. And I don't want his life to be taken and then your life to be lost, because you spend the rest of your days beating yourself up and wishing you could undo what you can't undo. She said, this was an accident. You didn't mean to do it. The circumstances don't matter. I want you to know that I forgive you. And I don't want you to live under this. Will you promise me you will live your life and be free of this? She said, he didn't say anything. I didn't think he got anything through. Tears were in his face, but he wouldn't look at me. And so she said, I left. Then the next day, his mom, that boy's mom, found Marnie and said, I don't know what you said to him, but we have been praying for years that God would give us our son back because of the path he had been on. And we thought we had lost him. But for the first time in years, we feel like we can see our son coming back again. Thank you for whatever you said. It made a difference. And you know what Marnie said? It made a difference for her too. Because she didn't even realize she needed at that moment to forgive and to begin letting go so that she could heal. You know what I'm saying? Friends, this is the Holy Spirit. This is what he does. This try harder crap, that is from the pits of hell. Because hell is never satisfied and doesn't want you to be either. It's never enough. This give up crap, it's from the pits of hell. Because God has made you for more than laying down and wallowing in the stuff that the enemy wants you to die in. And right here in the middle, there is a ground to stand on. You don't just stand on it, you can dance on it. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us, and that's why I'm praying these next few weeks. He is inviting us to take his hand and quit running to him for punch and start dancing with him every day, more and more, every hour. You're like, is this possible? Not by you, but by him, yes. Every day, hold his hand and dance with him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father God, as our prayer team comes forward, I pray for the person here today who came in feeling like all they could hear was the voice of give up. Thank you, Lord, that they didn't give up and they came today. I pray for the other group, Lord, who feels like all they can hear all their lives is try harder, and it's never enough. And Lord, I pray that you would help us today to be able to decipher your voice from those voices. And Jesus, even today, even in this moment, you could invite someone to stand up and dance with you, and that they would hear what your voice sounds like. And I can tell you what it feels like: freedom, forgiveness, love, encouragement, hope, faith. And that, Lord, we wouldn't be satisfied with this being the place where we get all of our spiritual sustenance. That we wouldn't be satisfied with a prayer and a scripture reading to be the place where we get all of our spiritual nourishment. That we would see, Lord, that those things are merely the things that teach and train and equip us to dance with your Spirit every day, all day, in the fun times, in the hard times, in the mundane and routine. You are dancing everywhere. And you invite us, your church, to find where you are dancing and join you. And you spin us and you dip us and you teach us dances we never thought we could dance. And it all begins with one step. Faith expressing itself through love. Would you help us? Would you help me? Would you help Shelter Church as we leave here today to express our faith through love and take that first step that might very well lead someone else to take their first step with you, Jesus. And Lord, if there's anybody who just needs some extra prayer today, some support, because we don't do this alone, then would you give them the courage that instead of going out the back door, they would come up front and just pray with somebody. Because these folks don't judge. They support and they love and they care. And I pray that someone would get to experience that today. Thank you, God, for all you mean to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.
The message you just listened to was from a weekend gathering at Shelter Church. If you'd like to learn more about us or speak with a pastor, please visit us online at shelterchurch.tv.